I can see the rage of our listeners. Like, I'm never going to listen to this podcast again. Please
unsubscribe.
This is sarcasm. This is how sarcasm with F1 fan fiction sounds like. You know, you got to have some dark sense of humor if you are part of this community. Hello, and welcome back to F1 Fan Fiction. This is a show about F1 race weekend reviews and racing community interviews. And this one has been a very controversial one, to be very honest. Let's start the episode at least. We are your hosts. I am Akash.
And I'm Sarang.
And today we have a guest with us. Actually, take it away.
Hi, my name is Katy. I'm from Osorno, Chile. To start, I think yesterday race was one of the best race of the season. We had so much emotion. I think it was amazing.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Kat.
Welcome, yeah. Welcome to the show. So we've heard, like, at least for Catherine, this was the best race of the season. how was it for you, Sarang?
Well, I don't know. I have mixed feelings. Like, the race itself, if you look at it, in itself, it was, I mean, there were things going on, so it was interesting. But at the same time, the stakes were at literally zero since World Championship is over. So nothing that happens in these races has any consequences, pretty much. So I don't know. I had, like, mixed feelings about it.
Before we go any forward, right, like, I want to tell this to our audience. So, Catherine, you are a fan of Lando Norris, right? Like, I think, like, And please tell our audience, like, what your official Instagram handle is, and why Lando Norris?
Yes, I don't know. I think Lando, when I meet F1, Lando was the best driver that I meet. I'm mainly Lando fan, but I also support most of the grid. I think everyone here for something. So
fair enough. And folks, if you also want to check out her page on Instagram, that is lando.norris_f1, go check it out. You'll see all Lando appraisal stories and posts, and everything. Yes, about Lando.
So many editions.
Yes. So give it a check. But coming back to the weekend, this was a sprint weekend. Sarang, at least, we haven't been much of a fan of sprint weekends.
Right.
Did this one change your opinion?
It somewhat did, actually. I don't know, like, it was fun to watch the sprint race, especially, of course, the main highlight that we had. K-Mag on pole position, which itself was incredible. That was the first time that I think he's been on pole. He was able to maintain it, like, not like, of course, not the pole position, but he was still able to get a point out of it. I don't know. Sprint races are starting to grow on me a bit. I think, like, the short 24-ish lap race is pretty fun to watch without, you know, strategy coming into the picture. And it's basically just raw performances of drivers in this case. Because of that we judge and not the team or any other factor. So, yeah, I know. It's starting to grow on me.
It was interesting to see K-Mag on pole, because here is what I noticed. I noticed that they have never had this situation, because their communications director was trying to understand what to tell on mic, because they have never spoken on the mic before. And FP2, I saw K-Mag practicing how to launch start from the first position.
Even, right?
Yeah. So,
yes.
I want to know this. So, Kathy, I don't know how long have you been following the sport, but has it been long enough for you to see K-Mag and be happy that he was probably P1?
Yes. I mean, I see F1 3 years. Also, I see the race since 2015.
Okay. Yeah, so K-Mag has always been there when you've seen races. Yes.
Yes. I think Magnussen is a good driver. So many times, I think he's too aggressive, but he's a good driver.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He
yes.
bring.
I agree.
He bring good actuations on the track. So and the poll I think has merit, but I don't think it's for the performance of the car. It was just because the rain helped him.
Yeah.
But I think it was a good feeling.
Yes, yes. That is actually a very good point, because it was while it is good that he was P1, it was a combination of two very important factors. One, that George Russell beached his car into the sand, bringing the red flags out. And then obviously the rains making it difficult to beat K-Max time that he did on the dry tires. So, yeah, that's true. It was a bit serendipitous, but nonetheless, P1 for Haas. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I think first and only. I don't think Haas will ever get a P1. I don't know. I'm just dissing them, but no. I hope they do.
But still, you know, credit where it's due. Like, while I agree it was some part of luck, it's also the fact that he was first on track.
Yes.
So they did predict that the rain would come and something like George beaching his car might happen, and which is why he was first on track. So, you know, that's fair game. It's part of the whole qualification process.
One Ferrari team at least trying to get their strategy correct. Sure.
Exactly.
Yes.
What else was very standing out for sprint? I'm trying to think here.
I don't know about standing out. I know about pushing out, though.
What do you mean?
Stroll pushing out Vettel.
Oh, that was sprint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was he doing? And I mean, like, Vettel's reaction was also very iconic.
Okay.
With just like...
He just said, okay. That's it.
Do you know there is this meme? I don't know if both of you, Catherine, you and Sarang know of this meme where there is something very ridiculous happening in the video. Mm-hmm. And then this black guy comes on screen, very smilingly says, okay. There's a meme like that. I don't know if you've seen this. So that is what it felt like for Vettel. Like Vettel saying, like that dude in that blue costume, you know, the black complexion guy. Okay. And then the above image is Stroll pushing him out.
Stroll pushing him out.
That was so funny.
Yeah. It was super dangerous, though. I don't know what Stroll was trying to do, like pulling that move off on his teammate, and especially like, yeah, it was. And you know, like after watching this, I went back to the last race where like he did something similar to Alonso as well. And I started to think the flying car thing.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, that makes me think that I probably put more blame on Stroll because he did basically the same thing this time as well.
He's so consistent.
It's, yeah.
I think Stroll didn't respect his teammate's pace. So,
yeah.
I think 10 penalty seconds was good because, don't know, it's so dangerous.
So that was just 10 seconds, or did he also get like any extra penalty points on the license points?
I think 2 penalty points.
Okay. That makes sense, because that's a very... Because if you remember, this has happened in the past with, I think I want to call like Rosberg and Hamilton, where Hamilton had to go on the outside on the grass, and luckily the cars were safe, but like it knocked both the cars off. So
I think it was Spain 2016.
Yeah, yes. It was definitely 2016 when Rosberg won. Definitely, yes. And I think like Vettel has bad luck with Brazil as well, right? It was with Leclerc where he went into him out of anger or something too, right? Like it was
I think yes.
2 years back or something. So
that's true.
Vettel and Brazil don't go together. The other person I feel like isn't good with Brazil is Checo, because Alonso. So was it sprint? I keep confusing between sprint and main race. Alonso and Checo was Alonso and Ocon. Sorry, my bad. Mm-hmm. Ocon. That was also that was also the sprint race, right? Like not the main race.
Yes,
I think sprint race. Yeah. Hmm.
Ocon has also been doing quite dirty tactics there. It's not a track that he is comfortable with, I feel. I for once was very surprised when Alonso got that penalty, because it was two things, right? One, Ocon was trying to push, or probably was not trying, but it was such a wide turn or a faster turn, or maybe he understeered or whatever, right? Like, it pushed Alonso out such that it imbalanced him. That sort of knocked Ocon's side belly.
Oh, yeah. I remember that incident now very well. Wow, that was super scary, actually. Because at one point, his car was like, you know, just about 90 degrees, and then he snapped it back somehow. But
yeah,
it was super dangerous.
And then comes on radio that Alonso got a penalty for it. So I'm like...
Yeah, man. I mean, we'll get to it soon. But FIA, I don't know what they were doing with judgments this race, because there are a lot of those which I kind of disagree with. But, you know, we'll get to it. I think this was one of them.
Yeah.
Which I had actually forgotten about, that he had gotten a penalty.
I don't know if both of you, Catherine, you and Sarang, have seen this, but which was also a meme, which is like, I think Alonso said that one more race and we are done and I'm happy we move on, sort of thing, right? And then there is a cut to meme where Vettel says, you will now be joining Stroll, so all the best, sort of thing.
Yes, I think, I don't know what is better, say, like Ocon or Stroll. I don't know.
I think, like, as a driver, maybe Ocon is better, but as a team, maybe Aston Martin is. So that's just my opinion.
Maybe one of the most unexpected movements in the season is Alonso to Aston Martin. But I think Alonso needs a break. Alpine is not what it was in 2021.
He's already 40 something, right? So him taking a break is
another retirement and come back again.
Maybe.
Let's go to the main event, the main race. Dashing cars, right? I think that was my theme. Like, it was just everybody crashing into each other. It seemed like everybody was desperate for, like, the last two races. Everybody wanted to capitalize on it. And of course, we saw... Why? I don't know that. But basically, we saw dashing cars. Daniel taking off K-Mag very beautifully in first lap. Poor guy. K-Mag got a poor...
Dude, I think I put up a story on Instagram a few hours back that I want to be full sarcastic. And I want to take hate for this episode, because I want to defend these guys. I feel it was K-Mag's fault. I don't think it was. Yeah. Because
how's that?
All right. So let's do this. I feel, first of all, we all know that Daniel is a king of late breaking, right? K-Mag isn't. Oh, so he's probably breaking a bit more. And Daniel knows what his car is, right? So he's not anticipating K-Mag breaking that much. That's one. Two, he knows if he gets a penalty, he'll perform better.
So
he's trying to get that 10-second penalty so that he can perform better. But who knew that K-Mag is going to put his car in reverse gear and knock Daniel out of
it? Yep.
But I think it's Ricardo's fault.
In reality, it is.
Yeah, he risked too much.
Yep. No, it's definitely his fault. And I think, like, I think he's just trying to prove himself at this point. But I don't think this is the impression that he wants to create, honestly.
It's too late.
Exactly, it's too late. It was a bit too late and a bit too aggressive. I don't know what's going on with him.
Anywho, I mean, at this point, I'm like, it's only one race left.
Exactly.
I'm going to take this poll tomorrow, folks listening to us. Check out the story on maybe Twitter also, but Instagram for sure. But, like, I want to take this poll. 23 races, I, as a fan, I'm a bit tired. I would have been happy with, like, one or two less races than this to call it a season. But this, and next year, there's one more extra. So, I mean, I like F1. I love F1. I'm doing this for F1, but...
Yes, I think the same. It's a lot of race in a year.
Right? Too much. Yeah. Too much.
And I think it's detrimental to F1 as well, I feel, because I think that this might have a negative effect on the fans as well, because of course there is burnout, like not just within the teams. Of course, they are actually traveling everywhere.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure the team members must be really frustrated by the increased number of races. But I think even from the fan perspective, you're diluting the importance of the races by introducing so many. And I don't know, like towards these last few races, I think this is probably like the first season when I thought like, you know, hey man, like this is a way long season, you know.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed it a lot more if it was like probably two or three races shorter.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, coming back to It Takes Two to Tango, who's the next one? Charles and Lando. This one was an okay one. What do you think about this? This was like meh, sure, they crash.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's both fault,
yeah.
But I think it's a little more fault of Lando. Yeah. He's stepped on the curve, which made him lose control of the car. So
fair enough.
Yeah, and I think that penalty was perfect. Like, I think the punishment matched the crime. It wasn't a very big error. They gave him a 5-second penalty and 2 penalty points, I think.
But it was so good to see like Ferrari not retiring, right? I think Leclerc continued his race. And
yes. Yes.
I was very surprised.
Leclerc had so
right.
Mucha buena suerte.
Yeah.
That's what, like generally when I saw his car like in the barriers, you know, nose front, I was like, okay, that's done.
Gone,
like,
yeah.
There's another safety car coming in for sure. But then his car started moving again, like on the mini map. I'm like, wait, what's going on here?
Before we go to the next one, right? Which then is gonna kick us into like the bigger drama that's happened. Let's get into the subtle level of the fight going into the bigger drama.
Of course, level one,
which is Max versus Hamilton.
Well, I think it's totally Verstappen's fault. He could easily have lifted and waited for the next lap or take a better line at the finish of the Senna's. Don't know. I think Verstappen was a little bit immature yesterday, apparently. Took a step back.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And if we say this was Verstappen's fault, then Verstappen versus Ocon, which is not apples to apples, but was again Ocon's fault.
Yes.
What was more annoying for me was the arrogance in his statement that he made after the fact that it cost Hamilton a race win versus I just got a 5-second.
Yeah, that was
that was very cocky. That was anyways.
Yeah, it seemed like Verstappen was on his worst behavior yesterday. Yeah. Like honestly, like So to start with, like the first crash itself. At least I'm of the opinion that it was a racing incident and not like I don't agree with the penalty. For me at least, it would had been just, you know, it's a racing incident and leave it as it is, because Max anyways got punished on his own. Like it's not like he was leading the race or something after that. So he got a natural punishment out of it. And I think that was fair enough. He was pretty much at the back of the grid anyways. And considering the fact that, like, of course, like the rules have changed a bit this year. And that's basically what has caused this controversy, because basically the rules up till last year were that if your car is at the halfway length of the car ahead of you, you're considered to be alongside the car next to you.
Gotcha.
But this year they changed the wordings to say that it doesn't say halfway length anymore. It only says significantly alongside, which is a very vague term and it's not, you know, you can't define it. So it's up to the discretion of the race directors to define what that is. And in this particular situation, they said that we consider significantly alongside is when both the front wheels are like matching each other. But I don't exactly agree with that, because then at that point, I don't know, then you're basically saying that do not ever try to attempt inside overtake pretty much. And I feel that would be detrimental to racing in general. So I'm not sure. While I totally agree that Max was pretty arrogant this race, I don't agree with the penalty that was given in general.
I mean, there are two things here, right? Like, one is that the car, if we see a snapshot of the first tap, the second mm-hmm. tap was probably either him losing balance and then running into Hamilton mm-hmm. or he actually went crazy. The latter is a bigger safety issue if he goes yeah. crazy mm-hmm. on that track at that speed. But let's, yes. for the sake of sanctity, assume he lost control. Mm-hmm. Right. But the first snapshot of them colliding is Max's car is almost more than half, or almost at least half, over the mm-hmm. curbs. Right. And at that point, if he were to go over the curbs, that penalty should have then been on Lewis, because the new rules mm-hmm. also say that if you push the car mm-hmm. outside to gain an advantage, you get a penalty. So mm-hmm. it's just at that point, maybe they gave the penalty to Max, sure. But him being cocky just took all my questioning. Even if you were wrong, that behavior was like, okay, I don't like it. Anyways, mm-hmm. that's just mm-hmm. a fact. But that stirred up a whole new drama, right? And let's talk about this. The Red Bull drama. Before we come to the FIA blunders.
Sure, because
we
let's are do that.
Red Bull drama. Catherine, let me start with you. What do you think? Should Max have given the position back to Checo?
I think yes, because he was in his right, but it's something he owes to his teammate. Mm. Basically, in my opinion, the most sensible thing for Verstappen was to give the position to Perez. He had nothing to lose. Mm. It cost mm. him nothing to be a good teammate. After all, Perez always helped him.
Yeah, and I want to stir up some controversy again because I'm in that right now. I think it's fine he didn't give the position back, to be honest. And I'll tell you mm-hmm. why. Mm-hmm. My take is, he worked so hard. He went last, overtook everybody, came all the way to Perez, while Perez was being overtaken mm-hmm. by everyone else. Again, he went all cocky about it, which is what pissed me off. Uh-huh. But it's fine. He didn't give it back.
Yes,
I can see the rage of our listeners. Like, I'm never gonna listen to this podcast again. Please
unsubscribe.
This is sarcasm. This is how sarcasm with F1 fan fiction sounds like. You know, you got to have some dark sense of humor if you are part of this community. All right, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I kind of agree. So, you know, I see both sides of this. Like, you know, I'm kind of ambivalent on this entire controversy. Like, on one hand, it is like Perez was 4 seconds behind Max. And, you know, 4 seconds is a significant time in racing. And especially when your teammate who was knocked off, who had a damaged front wing, went into the pits, served a 5-second penalty, came out, overtook everybody, overtook you as well.
Right.
And then you saying that, give me the position back. I don't exactly agree with that. I do understand the other side of it, however, that he has immensely helped Max. In fact, Max has to give like at least like 30 or 40% credit for last year's finale.
Yes.
You know, the Abu Dhabi 2021 race, where Perez, I think he held up Hamilton for like 8 seconds or something, right? His lead.
He not only held up Hamilton, but also gave Max a toe to sort of like slingshot on that second straight mm-hmm. to then mm-hmm. get a DRS to.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So, you know, considering those factors and considering the fact that if he wants to be a long-term, you know, winner for Max, he has to have a Bottas on his side, which is, you know, Perez, basically. Yeah. And if he's pissing off Perez, he's not going to help him from next year. So I don't understand what was his logic behind doing it. While I completely understand the competitor side of him, where he would be like, you know, he's 4 seconds behind me. I'm not going to just stop my car in the middle of the road and let him pass by. But I think from the perspective of, you know, more of a long-term thinking, he should have given it away.
Yeah.
Or rather, I also place some fault on the team as well.
Oh, this is definitely toxicity within team and miscommunication.
Yeah, of course. And because if you go back and listen to the entire radio, so actually there's this clip that I found on Reddit where somebody has like combined both the radios of Perez and Max with their respective engineers. And the way it unfolded was Perez's engineer was continuously telling him that, you know, Max is going to give you the position, right? But if you go back to Max's radio, he doesn't get that communication till three turns from the finish line on the last lap, which is, according to me, a bit too late for you to tell somebody that, you know, just give up your position. Stop your car for 4 seconds. Let the car behind you go ahead. I'm not very sure. It almost felt to me like the team just wanted to show that they're telling Max that let Perez by, but they didn't really want it. I'm of mixed opinions through the whole controversy overall.
Yes. Besides, Max has won the championship, so yeah, it's a little intense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And apparently there is news, there is a stat that Red Bull has never had 1-2 as driver championship. If that is true, this is their opportunity to, like, exactly. This is Christian Horner's golden crown at this point, right? I blame this a bit more on the team too, because of two things. One, you've spoiled a kid so much that the kid is throwing tantrums and owning you at this point. That's one. And two, there was a situation in the sprint race as well where Checo asked for that position. He was denied. And I would have assumed that they would talk about this at least between the main race and the sprint race. But to see a repeat of it, and then, like, you know, Max being all arrogant and cocky about it, is probably shedding good light on the character. He should have given, could have given. We've seen some defensive side of why that could not have been possible. Sure, keeping that aside, it's the attitude, which I think all of us have a problem with at this point.
I don't know. Yesterday, the Red Bull drama was so intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also all the comments in the, like, media pen later on, right? Like, I think Max was probably, like, saying that this was related to Monaco. And I don't get it. Like, it's races ago. You have already won the championship, man. Like, who gives a shit? Just let it go.
Apparently.
Yes.
Imagine this. We know for sure, however cute Papa Perez looks like, he's a Don.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's a Don.
Yes.
Like, don't get me. He's a Don. Right?
Yes. He's a badass.
Imagine people showing up with guns in Netherlands or Monaco or wherever Max stays at this point.
Yeah, man.
If they do, we didn't say this. We didn't provoke him.
I think it's somewhat of an unmasking of Red Bull as well, I would think. That the fact that the tension that's been boiling beneath the team, which till now probably was hidden, I think has been exposed a bit. I think there's certainly some discontention there. There is some, rivalry kind of going on inside. And I think that's evident. I think a lot of people have already said this, that the team entirely favors Max. And I don't completely blame them. Like, he has given them results. So I can kind of understand why the team is putting all their eggs in his basket.
But he's an over-pampered child at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's true.
So I was telling this to one of our other followers on Instagram that, and a good comeback to this would be next year, Lewis Hamilton wins the championship, depriving Max of his third title, taking the eighth title. He retires and Perez moves to, because Perez's contract expires next year. So Perez moves to Mercedes, and then Russell and Perez make sure Max never wins a championship. That's karma.
Yes,
that would be fun. Oh, one point I have to pull out since we're talking about Red Bull. Why is Checo so bad during safety car restarts? Why is he always miles behind the car in front of him? I don't know what's going on. Does he not know what a safety car restart is?
I don't know if he knows how to read the dashboard or whatever it is.
Yeah. Because, in fact, yesterday when I was watching the race, even the commentators were like, when the sign came up that safety car is ending, And like Checo's car was like about 3 to 4 car lengths behind Hamilton's. And even the commentator is like, what is he doing? Does he not know that the safety car is restarting? Why is he so behind?
Yeah.
How is he going to catch up with him?
All of this, you know what? All of this has taken the light away from what was a brilliant race by Mercedes. So, let's move away from the, I want to call it manufactured drama at this point, because FIA is trying. See, the biggest winners out of this, I mean, we can comment whatever we want to stir up these controversies, to bring in more audience. And, you know, we know where we stand, but we can say something to, you know, do the juicy part. But the true winners out of this are Liberty Media and Netflix.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where the money is. Anyway, this is all taking away the light from some brilliant performances yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
None other than Russell winning his you know, pole first win. Thoughts on Mercedes' resurrection, you folks, both of you, an open question. What do you think?
Well, I think it was their best performance in 2022, right? And I think they're pretty much back, I would say. I'm really hyped for 2023 because Ferrari has clearly shown that they are not up for a fight for the championship. So I'm glad that Mercedes has been able to dig their way up again. And I'm hoping that they really, you know, challenge the Red Bull team again.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And this time with two drivers, not just one.
Yes. So.
Yes. Mercedes from Austin were getting dangerously close.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
He maybe, I don't know. It's great to see them again on the fight, and maybe for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like there will be good contention too, because like with the reduced testing time,
these guys
are going to get in wind tunnel. Perez maybe won't start acting as a team player again. Ferrari knows what they need to do to fight RBR, and Merck is always on that lookout to come back to the top. Yeah, it is definitely going to be interesting 2023. Did he get, by the way, did he get driver of the day? Who was driver of the day?
Yeah, I don't know. I never saw that
yet. It was Hamilton, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I think I sort of agree with our other follower, Ravisha, as well, who probably said it should have been Russell. Because it was a brilliant weekend from him, right? Like sprint race, super performance. Setting pole and then again coming back as his maiden P1 race victory. But it's fine. It's fine. I think like there was some great driving from Hamilton as well. So, but sure, it could go either ways.
Yeah, that's true. And anyways, like I doubt these drivers care as much about the driver of the day. I think the win makes up for everything. I don't think he cares. As long as you get the win, it's fine.
And I know you were saying this, or at least I see this in our notes here, like first 1-2 since Imola 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yes. That's a long time waiting.
That's
man.
Been a long time. Exactly.
Yes.
Glad that they're back, man. Very honestly, I've started to get bored of seeing this guy, Max, on the top step of the podium. And especially after his behavior in the last race. Let's see.
But speaking of some good performances, some other few that are being completely undershadowed, I feel, is Alonso going from P17 to P5.
Oh, yeah.
Superb overtaking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Leclerc, I think, also going from P18 after his knockoff to all the way to P4. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't remember Ocon's number, but Ocon was also like the second highest overtaking yesterday. The other one, which is a very subtle mention, is Mick Schumacher in the sprint race, because he went all the way from P20 to, I think, like 8 places gained, P12 or P13. So some brilliant driving, some brilliant racing on that track that just completely got overshadowed with like stupid drama based off of arrogance and confidence.
Yeah. Let's get back to the FIA blunders a bit. You know, mainly I think that, you know, the kind of penalties that have been handed out throughout the season have been super inconsistent, in the sense that if you see Russell versus Carlos, right, at Austin, that and Stroll versus Alonso or Stroll versus Vettel or, you know, even this Hamilton versus Max. I don't exactly feel that all of these incidents were the same and worthy of the same amount of punishment for like the drivers. I think there should be more distinction in terms of how dangerous the contact really was.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't agree that Max hitting Hamilton yesterday was equivalent to Russell taking out Carlos, where it was, you know, I don't know. It's something that FIA needs to really improve upon their judgment.
Let me ask you this, Catherine. Do you think FIA is doing this on purpose to stir up controversy?
I think the FIA remains inconsistent, very inconsistent.
That is true.
Mm. I think the problem was not Massi.
Oh, by the way, did you see that during the last safety car restart? Tsunoda was just hanging around between the front.
No, I did not notice this. What is everyone's
going? Oh my God. They forgot him.
What was this? Someone filled me in.
So they didn't let him unlap. So generally, like before the safety car restarts, they allow the lapped cars to unlap themselves and go back to the back of the grid, right?
Correct.
So Tsunoda, somehow they forgot about him. He was like in between 7th and 8th position somewhere.
Okay.
Like he was lapped actually. So he was like towards the end.
Okay.
But basically, they never allowed him to unlap himself.
But didn't he go into the pits or something?
Yeah, he did. But then they should still allow him to unlap.
Correct.
Because that's what the rules are.
Correct.
So what happened is he basically was stuck between 7th and 8th. The race restarted. He had to basically just give up the position and like go to the side of the track because he was blue flagged. And basically, one lap was added to him for no reason. He wasn't allowed to, you know, catch back or do anything.
Damn.
And he was just shafted. Like, that's it. You know, fuck you. We don't care about you.
Oh, damn. This is such noob. This is
poor Yuki.
And this is so noob behavior.
Totally.
Yuki, man, this is a world great sport with like multi-billion dollars. Oh,
I think
damn.
He finished like 1 second behind Latifi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Behind Latifi.
Poor guy. Wow. One lap behind, actually.
Yes.
Highlight of Latifi's career. He's a true goatifi at this point. Oh, man. I think like FIA's combined net worth is more than so many countries' GDP at this point that they don't. Like, they shouldn't be making these sort of blunders. But, well, it is what it is. What else? I think, like, there's a few more topics you want to cover, right? Oh, yeah.
Sure.
The safety issue thing, dude. Yeah, you were talking about this. Helmet tear off stuck in Science's brake duct. This is the second time this has happened this year. Mm-hmm. We've seen this earlier where it completely botched Leclerc's race.
Yeah.
Somehow,
yeah.
Ferrari's...
By the way, both time Ferrari, exactly.
Yeah, somehow, Ferrari seemed to... Either the team fucks up or something happens on the track, which like is just completely against them. But yeah, there should be some sort of safety rules coming into this where you just tuck the thing rather than flipping it off sort of thing. For sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, there are safety concerns around that. And I'm actually surprised till now nothing of this happened. Which is really surprising to me because even like years prior, I used to always watch them like throw the plastic thing away. And I used to always think that, you know, won't this go in the car behind and like, you know, cause some issues. But I don't know. It's weird that like it happened twice this year. So I guess some rules might come by. I don't know.
On a stat note, I think there are two stats. One is this is the first race since Bahrain 2022 without the Red Bull on the podium, which was, I'm not going to lie, a good thing to see.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, I think the same.
Yeah. The second stat is, I think like this was the 100th race for K-Mag for Haas.
Yeah.
And it's not official yet, but it will be by the time this episode comes out that the second driver at Haas is 99.99% locked in as the Hulk is back. Sarang,
oh, really?
Yes. Sarang called this out way back in 2021. And it's finally happening, folks, in 2023. 2 years late, but Sarang is there.
See, eventually, right?
So, but yeah, it's happening. It's not announced yet, but the Hulk is going to be back. And the last thing I want to close this off with is Catherine. Let's try and summarize this in your way to our audience who understand Spanish, or your audience that have come and watched us. Thank you for everyone who's following Catherine and is listening to us. We want to close this episode with Catherine. Can you summarize this race in Spanish for us as much as you can?
Creo que fue en general una buena carrera. Claramente Brasil nunca decepciona, así que espero que logren mantener a Brasil muchos años más, porque es una de las mejores carreras del año. Y espero algún día poder ir a alguna carrera. Y espero que la primera sea Brasil.
And before we let you go, your thoughts on how did you like being on our show? How was this experience?
It was good. It's the first experience. So I think it was amazing. Yes.
Right. I'm glad you had fun and thank you for joining us. Folks, that was Catherine for you. Go check her out on her Insta page, which is lando.norris_F1. Go give it a follow and see how she is a big fan of Lando Norris.
And F1.
And F1, obviously. Sorry, and F1. Until the next last season finale, which hopefully doesn't stir up another drama and chaos. This is Sarcasm signing off.
Bye-bye.